good to be here today. I didn't know if I should introduce myself to y'all or not still, or some of y'all, when you came in, introduced yourselves to me and welcomed me as a visitor. I can't blame you. Tell you, it was very difficult to stand over there. I try not to do it very much, but when church is starting, I've learned kind of when people show up and what cars you're driving, and I would see people walking in, and finally I had to quit doing that because I thought real seriously about just sneaking in the back there, but then I got told I'm not supposed to do that. But it is good to be here. I appreciate your prayers very much, and we're going to see how this morning goes. I've still got a cough lingering, so Brother Kevin is getting ready for tonight just in case. We'll see how it goes this morning. There's something else I was going to say, and I don't remember what it is now. Oh, okay. This is Super Bowl Sunday, right? I didn't know that until I showed up here today. I don't keep up with it. I don't know. But do y'all realize what happened 1 year ago today, Super Bowl Sunday? I know they played football. We brought a U-Haul up here. It was the first drive we made up here after accepting the pastorate here. 1 year ago. It's really flew by. Some of y'all are smiling, some of y'all are groaning. No, I'm kidding. But it's been a very busy year. But it's been a very joyful year. I've enjoyed it. Getting to know y'all. I'm still getting to know y'all. Y'all are still getting to know me a little bit. We're still working out the kinks and everything. And I've heard a lot about a honeymoon period, but I hope that never stops. You know, I want that to continue. It's like when a husband and wife get married. Why is it? You know, a preacher came to our church and preached, and he was an older gentleman. And back in the day, front seats of cars didn't have bucket seats. Some of y'all remember, they just had bench seats in front, right? You remember that? And the preacher said that him and his wife were driving down the road, and they were following this young couple. And the wife looked at the husband and was like, "You know, you see that young couple up there?" He's like, "Yeah." "You see how that she's sitting right beside him? And his arms around her? Why aren't we like that?" Because she was sitting on the passenger side by the door, and he was sitting on the driver's side by the door, and he said, "Well, honey, I ain't moved." You know, but you think about that. The Lord hasn't moved. We want to stay in the honeymoon period. We want to stay loving and caring and together. But we won't be that way if we're not around the Lord. Right? That's where it's got to be. And that's what we're talking about this morning a little bit. And this morning I've been thinking about that. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, right? We're going through and looking at verses where the Holy Spirit is mentioned. And a lot of these topics, I tried to divide them up and try to separate them, but I'm having difficulty because they're all intermingled. They're all tied together into what the works that the Holy Spirit does with us and in us and for us and to us. But today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit dwells within believers. If you're here today and you're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He abides inside you. He abides with you everywhere you go. I'm going to try not to cough a lot. We'll see how long I can go. But we touched on this, I don't remember when it was, the last Sunday I was here. We touched on this and looked at it. If you will, take your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. This is a wonderful subject to me. I have really enjoyed looking up these verses and studying these verses and seeing what the Holy Spirit does, how that He works in my life. And I've studied this a long, long time ago. You know, I don't know if you're the same way I am or not, but if I don't study something over and over again, I forget it. I've read outlines that I wrote and didn't even remember knowing some of this stuff. And y'all look at me like I'm crazy. But it's the truth. If you don't continually read and study and you don't go over and over again, my mind only holds so much stuff. Something's got to leave. You know, so and that's why we study. That's why we go over these things and over them. We need to be reminded. I know that we know. I've talked to y'all about this. You believe what I'm preaching here. And this is common knowledge. But it's not always. Sometimes we forget, and sometimes we need to be reminded that the Holy Spirit, the Trinity with God dwells within you. That should change you. That should make you want to be different. That should make you set up and take note of some things. Tell you, and we mentioned last time that if you heard that Christ was going to be here in the services Wednesday night, how many of you would be here? Would you be here? How many of you would be late? If Christ himself was going to be here in the services, would we be here? How would we treat that? What would we do? You would make sure we would come prepared for that, right? Because Christ is going to be here. But you think about this. Christ is here. He is here. And you can take it a step farther and say that everywhere you go, Christ is there. Everything you look at, you're showing to the Holy Spirit. Everything. Everything you listen to, the Holy Spirit hears. Everything you see, everything you say, everything you think, everything. Because the Holy Spirit dwells within you. I think sometimes we forget. You know, working outside, my past has been in construction. We worked on one job that it was down in a valley. And it was hot. It was miserable during the summertime. It would get up to around 100 and something degrees. But in that valley down there, we would go up on a hill and take lunch. You know why we'd go up on a hill and take lunch? For the wind. The wind would pass through. It didn't come down in the valley down there. It stayed out of the valley. But it was great when they started building the building, got up to the second floor. Then the wind would come through. Then it was wintertime. Then you know what we wanted? We wanted down that valley. We don't want to win. But my point is that sometimes when you have the wind, you don't think of what it's like to not have the wind. Right? We've been sick. I was talking to somebody the other day that I'm feeling so good now, I didn't know what it was to feel good. I forgot. You know, I forgot what it was. And there was a couple days in there that I just come shoot me. I'm done. You wake up and you're hurt and you're aching and you're pain. No comfortable place to get. Y'all know what I'm talking about with that. Sometimes with the Holy Spirit, he's with us so much we forget. We forget that he's with us. We forget everywhere we go, he's there. And I'm running out of time here, but there's just a lot of things that I think we need to think about and remember. In this John chapter 14, we want to read verse 17 here. Then we're going to back up and start reading some other verses. But John 14 and verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, this is the Holy Spirit. Now remember, he's called here the Spirit of truth. Why is he called the Spirit of truth? We read in John 16 the last time how that when he comes, the Comforter comes, it's expedient, Christ said, for him to leave, for the Comforter to come. Because when the Comforter comes, he's going to lead us into what? All truth. All truth. Not part truth. Not some truth. All the truth that you know. It's not because of you. Listen. When God opened, when you see something through in his word, and you read a verse and all of a sudden it makes sense to you, and you understand some things, it's not because of you. It's, don't, is that making sense? It's not because of you, The Holy Spirit is opening up your understanding to those things. The Holy Spirit is revealing that to you. It's not because of you. It's because the Holy Spirit showed you. Oh, and I want to be very careful in this. Because I was thinking that, you know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit does not show you anything of himself. Do you know that? The Holy Spirit only shows you what Christ tells him to show you. The Holy Spirit points us to where? To Christ. That's where the Holy Spirit points us. If we will follow the Holy Spirit, we will all be going to the exact same place. We will always have unity in our church, in our families. If we will always be following God's Word, and that's where the Holy Spirit is going to lead us to, in his Word. He says here, even the Spirit of truth. Now listen to this. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Look, the world does not understand that we're new creatures. The world does not understand the battle that we have. I talked to a guy a while back that I've talked to you about him, some David Lawson. Buddy of mine I went to school with. He ended up in prison a few times. But the Lord saved him. And he had to go back to prison. He was willing to go. And he said, I'm saved, but I've done some things, and I still have to answer for those things. Being saved does not take away. You still have to answer for what you've done in this world. But for the world he did. But he had to go to prison. And he told me, 2 years... I can do that standing on my head, no problem. But then he called me up after he got in prison. He's like, these people are stupid. These people are messed up. There's a difference now between what he thought prison was and what prison is. Because now he doesn't belong there. Spiritually, he doesn't belong there. He's gotten out of prison now, and he's living, he's doing good. But he's called me up a couple times, and he's like, I don't know. I don't know what this is. And he began to explain to me about things that were going on with him. I just chuckled. He's like, dude, it's not funny. Because he's struggling. He's having thoughts that he shouldn't have, and he can't keep them things away. And then he has these desires, and he has these longings. And I'm like, yeah, join the club, man. We have two different creatures in us, two different desires in us. We have a desire of the flesh that wants to follow the things of the world, but there's that other desire. Holy Spirit that lives in us, that we want to serve him. We want to follow him, that pulls us and draws us to the things of the Lord. Which one are you going to follow? Which one? The world does not understand these things. The world doesn't see the Holy Spirit because they don't know him. But I love the last part of this verse. He says, but ye know him. But ye know him. If you're here today and you're saved, you know the Holy Spirit. Why do you know the Holy Spirit? Why is it that you know him? How is it that you see him, that you know him? How? Is it because you have such intellect that you've got it? That's not how, is it? That's not why. What does he say here? He says, for or because he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You know him because he's made himself known unto you. What he's done. He has saved you. My salvation and your salvation has nothing to do with us. You have to understand, you have to remember, your salvation, you're not saved because of you. You're saved because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved you. He called you. The Holy Spirit drew you. I get confused on how to say all that because God is one and yet he's three, and so I want to say it right and not be confusing with it all. They have different jobs that they do. But the whole point of it is, we're saved not because of anything of us. I had nothing to do with my salvation. Every time I tried to have something to do with it, I would go to sleep lost. Every time. But the one time that I gave up on me, that's when Christ saved me. That's the day when I completely trusted in him and turned from myself to him. He saved me. We're going to start back in verse 15. We read verse 17 here. It ends with, "But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." But look at verse 15. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth." That's the Spirit of truth. The Comforter is the Spirit of truth. Verse 18 says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day I shall know, at that day ye shall know I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments." Now listen to this verse. Okay, we went back to verse 15. "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Do you love the Lord? Do you love him? We all say, and how many times have people asked you a question and you answer the right answer without even examining yourself to see if it's a truthful answer, right? We say, "Do you love the Lord?" Yeah, we know the right answer for that, right? We know the right answer. The right answer is yes. But how many of us have examined ourselves to see if it's a truthful answer? I'm not asking you if you're saved. Not what I ask you. Do you love the Lord? Well, I'm saved, so I have to. You know, my dad always told me a story, and I always remembered it, about my grandma and grandpa. And then one day, I heard my grandma say it about my grandpa. They got in an argument, and it was a little scary for me, watching my grandpa and grandma, who always got along, kind of argue back and forth. And grandpa turned around and walked off. And grandma turned around and walked past me. And she said, "Honey, I love your grandpa. But right now, I do not like him at all." You know. And I'm... Do we show that we love the Lord? Do we? We say we love him. But verse 15 says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Do you show that you love the Lord? You can say you love him. And in verse 21, he says, "He that hath my commandments." Did you catch that? "He that hath my commandments." In verse 15, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In verse 21, he says, "He that hath my commandments." Do you have the Lord's commandments? Do you know them? Do you read? Do you study? Do you know what God wants of you? Or is it more important to do what you want to do? Which is it? What are you looking at? You know, when Trish and I went to get married, my grandpa, my dad's dad, my grandpa Pete, he came up to me and he asked me, or he had a penny and a dime in his hand. And he said, "I want to show you something." He took that, and I wish I'd have thought I had a penny and a dime up here, but you couldn't have seen it anyway. But he took the penny, or he took the dime, and he laid it down on the table. And he said, "You take that penny, and you lay it down on top of that dime." He said, "This penny is the Bible. It's God's word." Or this dime is God's word. And the penny is Tricia. You take that dime and you lay it down on the table and you put that penny on top of that dime. It's a good match. Looks like it's a good match. Looks good. You can compare them. They look like they're the same. He said, but you don't. You do not compare the people to the Bible. You compare the Bible to the people. Because when you take that penny and you put that penny down on the table first and you set that dime on top of there, did you know there's just a little bit of difference between the size of those? Just a little bit. And a lot of times we do it backwards. We want to compare ourselves to others or ourselves to the Bible. But we need to compare the Bible to us, if that's making sense. We need to make sure that God's Word is the pattern, not me. I'm not the pattern. You don't compare your life to your pastor. You don't compare your life to your spouse or your parents or your children or your aunts or your uncles, your grand, nobody. You compare. God's Word is the pattern, is what I'm trying to say. And hopefully I'm not making that cloudy. God's Word is the pattern. He's the one that we look at. He's the one that we follow. And all of this, do you have, he says, he that hath my commandments. Now listen, and keepeth them. It's not good enough. It's not good enough to know what God's Word says. You understand? It's not good enough to know what God's Word says. He says, he that hath my commandments, that's good. But he wants you to keep them. He wants you to do, put it into action. Do you love the Lord? He says, keep my commandments. Follow my word. Follow what I say. He goes on and says, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And look at verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, so it's not Judas Iscariot. He says, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Excuse me. That's a good question. How is it? How is it, Lord, that you're going to show yourself to us but not to the world? You know, sometimes, and I thought about this as I was reading this and studying this morning, that how many times have you said, don't they see it? Don't the world see what's going on? How can they not see it? It's just as plain as the nose on your face. And I was sitting there in the office, and I said that. It's just as plain as the nose on your face. And you know what I realized? I can't see my nose. You can, right? Hopefully you can see my nose. But I can't see my nose unless I cross my eyes and look at it. You know? It's as plain as a nose on your face. It's right there. You can see it. But the world doesn't get it. The world doesn't get it. The world doesn't get why we come to church. And then to come to church twice on Sunday? That's insane. That's messed up. There's a lot of churches, I don't know about here, but back in Missouri, there's a lot of churches that are beginning to only meet Sunday mornings. No Sunday night. No Wednesday night. Sunday mornings, that's it, one service. Why? Well, because nobody comes. So they quit meeting. No. Do they not see that we need to be in services? We need to be in the Word of God? We need these things. How is it that the Lord is going to manifest Himself to us? Jesus answered in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. Verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. He says, I'm gonna show myself to you because you're going to keep my commandments. You're going to see. If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments, and I'm going to show myself to you. My Father's going to love you and make our abode with you. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. And he brings to our remembrance those things that we've read, those things that we've studied. He does that. Do you love the Lord? I said we know the right answer, right? I want us to get in the habit of not just answering the right answer, but I want us to get in the habit of examining our lives. We need to. We need to examine our lives, examine our hearts, examine and make sure that we do truly love the Lord. Are you keeping His commandments? Or are you trying to push your own way? Are you trying to do what you want to do? Remember, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, within you. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This verse has been read some this morning already. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. This verse says, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Think about that verse. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Everything we do, everywhere we go. In verse 11, he says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Whenever I read these passages, like I said, my background is in construction. I was a plumber. I was in new construction. And what I did a lot of times is I showed up on a job before anybody else was there. I showed up on a job when the foundation guys were there putting the footings in. The plumbers were normally the first people, first crew to show up that didn't leave till the building was done. So when I showed up, there was no building. There was no walls. There was no concrete floor. There was nothing, right? I've told you before that the surveyor would come out, the foundation guys would lay a corner. They'd dig a footing in, they'd pour the footing, and as it was hardening, the surveyor would come out and he would mark the outside corner or the inside corner of that building. And that's where everybody pulled from. If you didn't pull from there, you couldn't tell. You couldn't tell. I mean, there's no concrete. There's no walls, right? So we would all pull from this nail that the surveyor put in, and he would tell us that's the outside building, so sometimes you'd have to add 4 inches for the brick and then get into the inside building with the measurements or by however you needed to do it. But everybody pulled from one place. And I see that here in this, that Christ is the foundation. He's the one we all pull from. He's the one that is our fixed. I've talked about fixed points. Anytime you do a measurement, you always have to have a fixed point to start from. You have to have a point that does not move, that continues through. If you were going to take a measurement from this building to the building back there and compare it this way, you'd have to have some place, a fixed point that doesn't move to go through doors. You have to have that. And that's what Christ is in our lives. He is the fixed point. You know, when I look at this judgment coming and that we'll stand before the Lord, as Brother Ken talked about in Sunday school, we'll stand before the Lord and everything that we've done will be put into fire. I tell you, the most nerve-wracking time for me on a job was when the carpenters came in and started building walls. You know why that was the most nerve-wracking time? is because now it's going to be proven. Now my work is going to be showed whether I hit the walls or not. Because when I put the pipes and the toilets in, the showers in, and the pipes coming up, me, the electrician, and sometimes the tenors, we're all there pulling off the same nail and drawing and pulling strings and making the walls and coming up in the walls, and it's just dirt. Then they come in and pour concrete. When they pour concrete, you know, you can't just move a pipe real easy. It gets difficult. And when the carpenters come in and they pull, the surveyor comes back and he makes a note again of where that corner's at. And then they pull again. The carpenters pull and start marking out walls. There's a dread. My stomach's all in knots. Because if it's wrong, you know how many people's going to know what's wrong? Everyone. Everyone. And I can just imagine standing there before the Lord. And they take all our works, everything we've done in this world, and throw it in this fire. And it's going to be tried on what's left. It's what we've done for him. It's what we've done right. We pulled off the right place. See, I've went over measurements over and over and over again. But it doesn't matter. I could go over them 20 times and I would still have the knots in the stomach standing there when they're pulling those walls. Because I still... But when they pull those walls and my pipes are in the walls and everything's right, oh, wonderful. It's great. It's just wonderful. But when they don't, it's just lost. It's the joy is gone. The expectation is gone. All that's gone. Now there's more work to do. You know, not here, but on the job there. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. And then he said, and look at this. Why does he say verse 16 here? Why is this verse here? He says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Why is that verse there after verse 15 and 14? Why? He talks about the judgment that we're gonna all of our works, everything we do, are going to be tried in the fire. Why is that verse there? Don't you know that everything you do, the Spirit of God goes with you? You involve the Holy Spirit in everything you do, everything you say, every place you go. When no one, there's things in your life that no one else knows about, right? Right? Come on. You can nod your head yes, because we all know it's true. There's things in every one of our lives that nobody else knows about. Well, let me ask you something. What if everybody here found out about it? How would you feel about it? How would you feel about those things? One of these days, everyone's going to know. One of these days, everyone's going to know. And right now, the Holy Spirit knows. If you don't want us knowing, why on earth would you take the Holy Spirit there? Why would you do that? With the Holy Spirit in you. Can you tell me why? I don't think you can. When I look at that, I have to go back and ask, how much do I love the Lord? If I'm willing to take him and do things that he wouldn't approve of, you know? Things we need to think about. Make sure that we are following him. Make sure. I don't know if that's, I am big, but I mean, that's not what I mean. But I really believe in accountability. Wholeheartedly in accountability. There's a password on my computer. There's a few people here that know that password. I need the people to know the password. Well, why? Because I need to know that anybody can get on that computer at any time. Am I planning on doing anything? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. But do not tell me that you've never been tempted. If you tell me you've never been tempted, I will call you a liar. Because you have been. We need to remember that the Holy Spirit is with us everywhere we go, everything we do, everything we see. And his responsibility, his job is to lead us into all truth and to bring us into remembrance. But do you realize to remember something, you have had to have once seen it? You can't remember a verse if you've never read it. You need to be in the Bible, be in His Word, reading and studying and going over His Word. I've said over and over again, and I'm going to say it again. You'll probably get tired of hearing me say it. I hope you never do, but you probably will. It's not enough just to come to church. It's not enough. Do not fall into that trap thinking that you're doing good if you only come to church and listen to the Word here. It is not enough. You will not grow that way. You will shrivel up. And on that day, when your works are put into the fire, you will suffer loss. You will be humiliated. You will stand there. As the saying goes, with egg on your face. You're saved, and you got into heaven. But you're looking at Christ knowing He done everything for you, and you done nothing for Him. Is that what you want? We need to serve the Lord. We need to follow Him. Hopefully, Lord willing, this is making sense to you. There's just a lot in here. Look up those verses about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. Look those things up and see what they say. Do the study for yourself. We're not done yet, but we're going to keep going. But if you're here today and you're lost, we pray for you. You need to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will save you. That's what He promised. That's what you need to do. If you will, let's stand.